蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
刚到一个新的地方，被人接待欢迎，一路呢听着新环境的介绍，被人轮流请吃饭，受邀请参加不同的活动，接受来自四面八方不同的朋友送的一些居家实用的小礼物。天哪，这样的热情款待让人想不快点融入新环境都不行呢。我说的是什么呢？就是那一年我刚来电台工作，同工们对我的热忱迎接，直到如今我仍然记得。你现在收听到的是良友电台的中英文双语节目蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today， 我是乐欣。
I'm Charles Morris sharing the great story. I hope you know it's all about Jesus. And we're in a series this week called Love Your Neighbor.
Love your neighbor. When someone helps you, then you'll understand when you love
A simple song with the same name as our series this week, only filtered through the creative mind of Phil Vischer. VeggieTales encouraged children to reach out to their neighbors and loving them by lending a hand. It's a simple enough concept for kids to get hold of. So why is it so hard for us as we get older?
When Mary Magdalene joins the church, that's who I am, right? I think, I think that everybody has to just take a deep breath.
And that is Rosaria Butterfield. She's been with us talking about the concept of radically ordinary hospitality. She'll be with us again later on in the program to talk about how some Christians were welcoming and others were standoffish when she came to Christ and left her life of unbelief. And then we're going to look to examples of hospitality in the Bible and see how the gospel invitation by our Father through His Son is the greatest example of hospitality the world has ever known. Now let's open the program with Josh Wilson and his song, Dream Small.
It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time the world says he cannot afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor at a tiny little church.40 years of loving on the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've gotta do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time. Live well. Loving God and others as yourselfFind little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small. It's visiting the widow down the street, or dancing on a Friday with your friend with special needs. These simple moments change the world.Dreams. Just don't miss the minutes on your way to bigger things, no. Cause these simple moments change the world. So dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've gotta do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time. Live well. Loving GodAs yourself, find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. So dream small. Keep loving, keep serving, keep listening, keep learning, keep praying, keep hoping, keep seeking, keep searching. Add up the small things and watch them grow bigger. The God who from rivers. So dream small. Don't bother lying, you've got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Yeah, find loaves and two fish can feed them all. So dream small. Dream small.
This is Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris, and a program called Love Your Neighbor, and we opened with Dream Small by Josh Wilson. And in just a moment, we'll hear again from Rosaria Butterfield in North Carolina. We're talking about loving our neighbors, and we're specifically talking about hospitality, opening our homes to believers, but also unbelievers alike. I have a quote from one of the early church fathers, Clement of Rome. It's from a letter he wrote to the Corinthian church, much like Paul did in the two letters we have in the New Testament. It's striking to hear a description of the early church. Indeed, was there ever a visitor in your midst that did not approve your excellent and steadfast faith, or did not admire your discreet and thoughtful Christian piety, or did not proclaim the magnificent character of your hospitality? Did you hear that? The magnificent character of your hospitality. Now, that's a beautiful thing to be known for, I think. The Bible says that Christians must be hospitable. And yet, if you were to randomly ask Christians to list some of the things Jesus calls his followers to do, I'm not so sure we naturally think of hospitality. I wouldn't. But the Lord places a really high premium on hospitality. It's on the list of biblical qualifications to be a pastor. Paul tells Timothy that pastors must be hospitable. In the same letter, 1 Timothy, Paul instructs him about caring for widows in the church. And one of the things he says is that they should help widows who show hospitality. That may sound a little strange, even harsh, but the idea is that these women aren't in need for themselves. They would be among the most helpless and needy. Yet they show generous Christian love to others, strangers, in fact, not just friends. That's according to 1 Timothy 5:10. Hospitality should be the heartbeat of every Christian. It's part of our calling as believers. In Romans 12, 9 through 13, Paul writes to the church in Rome. Listen to what he says. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. And here it is again, practice hospitality. And then Peter, the apostle, says the same thing, 1 Peter 4:9, love each other deeply, offer hospitality without grumbling. Hear that? Without grumbling? I think Peter gets to the heart of a problem. When we take these lists out of context, they start to feel like a burden. I hear that word should, I should practice hospitality, and it sometimes feels like just one more thing to add to my endless to-do list as a Christian. How do we not grumble? How do we have a heart of hospitality? How do we welcome people, even our enemies, into our homes and do that with love? I think the answer has two parts. First, we remember, and second, we anticipate. Let's look at those two things. Remember first. That was the reason the Lord gave Israel for how they were to treat strangers when they came into the promised land. He told them to remember. Remember what it felt like to be a stranger yourself. You know the feeling of being a stranger because you were strangers and aliens in Egypt. That comes all the way back in Exodus 23:9. But as Christians, we have an even more compelling reason. Paul told us, remember that you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. He said that in the second chapter of Ephesians.
我们如何可以做到殷勤的款待客旅，同时又不发牢骚呢？ Charles 说的两点，乐心我觉得非常的重要。首先呢，我们要记得，我们过去也是客旅，我们过去并不是神家里的人。我们过去如何期待别人怎么对待我们，今天呢，我们就应该要如何来对待那些仍然还是客旅的人。中文有句话说，做人不要忘本，不要忘记自己曾经是什么模样，来自哪里。我觉得他的意思呢，并不是说你一定要死死地抓住过去的身份，不能丢掉老祖宗的传统。他的意思呀，是说如今身为基督徒的我们，并不能忘记我们今日成为何等人，全是因为神的恩典。在神的怜悯和慈爱之下，我们才得以脱去以前作为神敌人的身份，进而呢穿上新人，作为神家人的身份。记住这个转变的过程，记住我们是靠着神的恩才能够做新人，这就能够帮助我们在对待别人的时候存一颗恩慈的心了。以弗所说的第二章的内容说的真的很棒，新译本是这样说的，你们应当记得，你们从前按肉体来说是外族人，那些所谓在肉体上受过人手所行的割礼的人，称你们为未受割礼的。那时，你们是在基督以外，与以色列国无分，在带有应许的约上是外人，在世上没有盼望，没有神。你们从前远离的人，现今在基督耶稣里，靠着他的血已经可以亲近了。基督就是我们的和平，他使双方合而为一，拆毁了隔在中间的墙，就是以自己的身体除掉双方的仇恨，并且废掉了律法的规条，使两者在他里面成为一个新人，这样就缔造了和平。基督既然借着十字架消灭了仇恨，就借着十字架使双方与神和好，成为一体，并且他来把和平的福音传给你们在远处的人，也给在近处的人。我们双方都借着他，在同一位圣灵里可以进到父面前。这样看来，你们不再是外人和客旅，而是与圣徒一同做国民，是神家里的人了，并且建造在使徒和先知的根基上，基督耶稣自己就是奠基石，整座建筑都靠着他连接配合，渐渐增长，成为在主里面的圣所。你们在他里面也一同被建造，成为神借着圣灵居住的所在。
In her book, Rosaria Butterfield writes about her own life. She was a foreigner to the covenants of promise, to use Paul's words.She was hostile to Christianity. She considered Christians her enemies. As a lesbian professor of literature at Syracuse, she decided to write her dissertation on how Christians misread the Bible. But the Christian couple she decided to use as her case study welcomed her into their home. They even loved her like a daughter. And through that open door, that open heart of love, she met the Lord Jesus Christ. And she became a daughter of the living God.In other words, she came home. And now, she has a passion to offer hospitality to unbelievers, a passion that flows from that memory. She was not just a stranger. She was an enemy. And yet she was welcomed. And that's the gospel in a nutshell. I asked Rosaria Butterfield what it was like for her when she first professed faith in Christ, leaving behind her unbelief and her lifestyle.She said it wasn't easy for everyone in her church.
When Mary Magdalene joins the church, that's who I am, right? I think that everybody has to just take a deep breath. And I think we know that we are Christians because of our fruit, and fruit takes time. So I think people, rightly so, wanted to see fruit. I do think that Christians have somewhat wacky fears about others. It isn't just people who identify as gay, it's others. Yeah. So I do think that, every now and then I still get sort of the question that exposes the the fear, you know, and I'm just going to say it's a wacky fear. And it's a wacky fear because you know what? Eternity is written on the hearts of all people. We are all image bearers of a holy God. That doesn't mean that that doesn't mean that the gospel says, you know, and just exactly as you are is just how you're going to be. Not at all. So I think we need to realize that a more helpful way of seeing both our unsaved neighbors, but also the people who come to Christ from, you know, as my friend Christopher Yuan, title of his book would say, from out of a far country, you know, for those of us who really walked from out of a far country, held, you know, holding on to the Lord's hand the whole way. You know, I think what we need to know and what you need to know about us is that even in our worst days, we still were image bearers of a holy God. Mm. You know, even when I was giving, you know, speeches at gay pride marches, I was an image bearer of a holy God. Mm. I had eternity written on my heart. Now, we were not reflecting God's image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Only through Jesus Christ did we learn to do that. So I would say that's what trips up people. And do they still sometimes get tripped up by it? You know, sometimes. But we are called to love each other.
This is Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris, listening to Rosaria Butterfield sharing about her experience of leaving a lifestyle as a lesbian woman and embracing Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Some Christians embraced her quickly, like the couple who invited her over to dinner for the very first time. What an example of hospitality. But others stood back a while to see if her conversion was genuine. She says now she understood. They wanted to see fruit. But that wasn't very hospitable, was it? We need to remember two things. We are all created in the image of God, and we are all born sinners, which makes us enemies of God, according to the Bible. We were all once strangers to the Lord, and yet he stretched out those loving arms on the cross to welcome us into his Father's house. The gospel, at its core, is an offer of hospitality. It's an offer extended not to just God's friends, but to God's enemies, to the ones who hated him, and even the ones who nailed him to the cross. Jesus is the great host who offers us his broken body and his blood shed. He welcomes us home like the father welcoming the prodigal. When our consciences are loaded with guilt and we know we've disqualified ourselves from ever making it home again, the Father runs out to meet us and puts on us his robe of righteousness and gives us the ring of sonship. And then he tells us to sit down and eat. The way to have a heart of hospitality is to remember the hospitality of the Lord and what it has meant for you and for me. Our actions of love and welcome spring from the memory of our story, our own personal before and after. So first, we remember. But then second, we anticipate. The Lord is getting ready a great feast. The wedding feast of the Lamb, it's called. But there are still empty seats around his table. He wants them filled before the party begins. And we are appointed inviters. Listen to what Jesus said at a dinner party he attended. It was at the home of a religious leader. And during dinner, someone mentioned the future feast in God's kingdom, and that prompted Jesus to tell a story. A story that makes it clear that we are not just the invited, we are also the inviters. I'm thinking of Luke 14, and the story that Jesus told begins in verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' And still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house grew angry and ordered his servant go out and quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' And then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Jesus telling us that the gospel is an invitation to the final feast in God's kingdom. He's sending out his servants, that's you and me, with the invitation not just to the friends, but to the marginalized, unfriends, the least likely to come. And you know what? That's you and me, us. We are invited, but we're also the inviters. We're his servants, sent out to invite others. And one of the best ways we can do that is by inviting outsiders into our own homes. That was exactly the point Jesus made to his host at that dinner. Except for Jesus, the man had only invited his friends, fellow religious leaders. And Jesus told him, you need to change your guest list. You need to have God's heart. Luke 14:13-14. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. And although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Why do we invite unbelievers into our home? Why do we look for the ones who have been marginalized and make sure they are included? Because we remember, and because we anticipate. We remember what it was like to be on the outside. We remember that Jesus brought us in, into the Father's house. And we anticipate the day of the resurrection of the righteous, the day of the great feast, when all the chairs will be filled, and then the feast can begin.
We all start on the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give, or the shape that we were in. Just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table, come join the sinners who have been redeemed, take your place beside the Savior, sit down and be set free, come to the table. Liars and these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here. So that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you near. Come to the table, come join the sinners who have been.
Yeah.
called Sidewalk Prophets and Come to the Table here on Haven Today. And I'm Charles Morris in a program we're calling Love Your Neighbor. And a special thanks again to Rosario Butterfield for joining me one more time.
Rosario 今天的分享不知道有没有触动到你呢？当你信主了去教会参加崇拜，教会里面却有些人因为知道你过去的事情而对你只有一个保留观察的态度，这会给你带来什么样的感受呢？就像 Rosario 说的，我们可以想象到在耶稣的那个时代，当抹大拉的玛利亚进到会堂里的时候，他想和异徒基督徒一同来敬拜神的时候，会堂里面会有一些人深吸一口气。今天这样的情况还是那么普遍的发生在我们的教会里。曾经呢，乐心被一个牧师问过这样一个问题，他就问到说，当你去跟一个流浪汉交朋友传福音的时候，他找你要10块钱，你明明知道他拿了你的钱之后并不会去买盒饭吃，而是把钱花在了烟上面，抽烟喝酒，那么你还会给他这10块钱吗？今天乐心也把这个问题抛给你，如果是你，你知道他会把你的钱花在抽烟喝酒上，你还会给他吗？这是我们第四集来分享 Love Your Neighbor， 爱你的邻舍。身为基督徒，我们如何才能够做到款待客旅呢？ Charles 说到了，第一点是记住我们的身份，记住我们身份是如何转变的。第二点就是参与，要参与其中，因为我们就是那一群最后被神邀请要加入他宴席的人。希望今天的内容呢，能够对你有帮助，也能够让你看到款待客旅这件事情并不是说是一个基督徒他需要去完成的一个负担，是他不得不做的一件事情。我们要从神的角度，从十字架的角度来看到上帝是怎样款待我们，是怎样在我们不配得接受他宴席的时候，他依然邀请我们，以这样的一个动力去看我们身边的邻舍，他们现在虽然也是属于敌人，不是神的家人身份，但是当我们愿意去款待他们，愿意去爱他们，去用行动来帮助他们的时候，他们也许哪一天就会成为基督徒了，也许哪一天他们就成为下一个 Rosario。 也许你和我曾经就是这样的呢。这个就是今天节目的全部内容了，非常谢谢你的收听。听完之后，如果你有任何感受，如果你也想回应乐心刚才在提出来的那个问题的话呢，欢迎你发送短信到13229966122，短信的开头请你加上蓝天。 National Choice 就在下个星期和你在良友电台的蓝天绿洲不见不散，拜拜。 We all start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we